Okay, so learn today's daf. Schus for fuah shleima shimon tzvi peril morcha b'malia begayel bas Esther Malka Avram Mekela Sarachaya bas Leia Avi Gael. We are on the Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, so the Mishnah is now going to be dealing with the case of a person who found a mace buried in his rishus, in his property, and he wants to be mefan the mace. He wants to reinterment the mace to somewhere else. Is he permitted to do so? Now, this Mishnah apparently appears pretty much word for word in Maseches Taharos. In Maseches Olos or Maseches Taharos?
We're not talking about Nazir.
No, we're not talking about Nazir anymore. We're talking about here because we had the concept of Raglayim Ladover, so these things are coming up. The next couple of Mishnayos seem to appear elsewhere as well. The question here is whether he's allowed to remove the mace from one Rishos to another Rishos. So the question is whether or not the mace was buried here Midas. This was this was supposed to be his final resting place. If this was his final resting place, then there's no permission to remove him, even if he's a single mace. And we also have the possibility we have to be Choshesh that maybe if you found one mace here, there are other Kvarim around here as well. Or the possibility is that he was only put here, you know, the ofen zmani, as they would say in Israel, just, you know, temporarily. Maybe it was a temporary resting spot, and the idea was to have him removed to another place, and then there'll be mutter. So you have to have different scenarios to come up to determine whether or not it would be permitted to be here. Again, since the Mishnah Daf Samach Gimel mentioned the concept of raglayim ledavar, so the Gabbai Nazir, we had that, so too over here, this Mishnah will talk about Raglayim Ladavar. So, Hamotzi Mace Batchila. Someone finds a mace buried in his field, Batchila, meaning he had no idea that this mace was there before. He's digging around and he comes across this mace. So, if the mace is Mushkov Kedarko, if it's lying, it's buried Kedarko in the way of the way that they used to bury Kivrei Yisrael, we'll see what that is. Notlo. The S tefusa so. He may remove it, but he has to take the tefusa as well, which we'll see is a certain amount of dirt around the mace to take it as well. Even so, he's permitted to remove the mace because he's found it for the first time. It was, and apparently, it's not. There's no cemetery here. It's just so you can take it.
So
obviously you can move it depending on a certain situation, so there's certain circumstances. We got to wrap the mefarish. He says, "Note lo ve'estef husaso u'mifano l'makom acher," and he can move it to another place. Ve'eino choshesh, he's not choshesh sheish kam b'makom hazeh shum meis acher. He's not choshesh that there's another mace. U'mutal lo lahalich b'mikom makom, I guess. V'kein im matzah shnayim, and even if he finds two, aval. And we'll just see what the rest of the Mishnah will say this as well. Im matzah shlosha. If he found three buried in a certain distance from each other, he'll have to be choshesh that this is one of those catacombs. This is one of those places where you have the burial, and therefore I started early. Father, I started early. So this is what?
It's a basic
course. Yeah, you have to be worried that it's a basic chorus. Okay.
But if you're choshesh the guy was killed, why would you want to move him at all?
Who says you choshesh the guy is killed here? Where does it say you choshesh the guy?
Because it's possible the guy had mace was killed, so therefore you should be able to.
Okay, first of all, where does it say that the mace was killed here? Just as a Mosei mace. Second of all, where are you coming up with the idea that just because the guy was killed?
They always say double, but it might be a crime scene. So how do we know that he wasn't killed?
What are you talking about? Where does it say a crime scene here? Where does it say that the mace was killed?
We don't know how he died.
Who cares?
So what?
It doesn't say that.
So therefore, how could die? Could you move him if you don't know how he died?
But what is having how he, what, at this point in the Mishnah, what does how he died have anything to do with our what we're talking about?
Because if we don't know how he died, that we don't know the causes. So therefore, how could you move the problem?
Because the Mishnah says if you find one person buried, you don't have to be choshesh. This is a basic kvaros. If it's not a basic kvaros, most likely he was just put there for a temporary purpose, and you're permitted to move him.
I'm talking about a different choshesh.
But we're not talking about that in the Mishnah yet. We'll get to it, but that's not what the Mishnah says right now. You can't ask questions on the Mishnah for something that the Mishnah hasn't said yet. You only can ask it if something comes up that talks about your case, your scenario. Okay. So, Amotzi Meis Mitchila, if you find the mace originally in the field, Mushkov Kedarko, it's buried regularly, Notlova Estufosa. You're allowed to remove it and the area around it. Shnayim, if you see two mace, if you find two mace next to each other, Notlova Estufosa. You're permitted to remove them, so if you want to rebury them somewhere else. Because even with two mesim, as we saw in the forest, we can still be told that they weren't here b'kvius. They were put there just temporarily. That wasn't the because it's not a cemetery. But much less shlosha. If you find three mesim, so im yesh bin ze lo ze me arba amos ve'at shmona hareja shchunas kvaros. Article, I'm sure it's a picture. You're talking about the catacombs that are buried. They used to bury underground. Remember, they used to bury. They would have this big area, and then on the sides, you would have the, you know, put in these I don't know how else to describe them, these hoops or something like that. They were put into the side, so they would. But there was a certain amount of distance between. Sort of, yeah, because it was underground, but not in the dirt. So, if you see, if you go to Harmanuchos now, you see also very weird, it's like. In the size of the mountain, so they're buried in dirt, but there's levels, but they're not under the ground. It's very, it's strange. So matzo shlosh, you find three im yish bein lezem e'abra amos v'amri shmona. If between the first and the third, there is no less than four amos and no more than eight amos, because then they would possibly be the order that they would be buried in these catacombs. Harez yishchunos kvaros. So now you have the concept of a shunas kvaros. They're considered a base of kvaros, and there's an isser to remove them, right? Even, and you also have to be choshesh that maybe they're more around. So now you have to start looking around. But if you find the three mesim that are buried in a smaller area or in a bigger area, then you would be permitted to move them because it's not the derech to bury in a base of kvaros. You're not allowed to remove them if you thought that this is a basic kvaros. And a basic kvaros is a code word for being purposely placed here to be the final resting place. If there's a possibility, that they weren't placed here to begin with to stay forever, then there's permission to remove them elsewhere, which is, again, major issues that always comes up when they build and they dig in Eretz Yisrael. A basic kvaros you can't relocate. That's what's supposed to be, if the intention was this person supposed to be buried there and stay there, then they're kona the makom.
I don't know that.
That's what the Mishnah's talking about. The Mishnah's talking about certain cases. The assumptions being, if it's only one person buried and there's no one else around, it's not a basic varos. If it's two, it's not a basic varos. If there's three buried in a certain area, then that's the assumption is that it is a basic varos. So you know for a fact then, that wasn't permanent, that's not what they wanted to do. People who were buried on, you have plenty of people who were, you know, they took people from Europe and they moved them to Israel also. Right. But that was just buried, to get them buried quickly, but not necessarily to be the final resting spot. Okay, so now the Mishnah explains how you check when you find these three. It's bodek heimenu, from where the mace is, ula halon esrim ama. You have to check 20 amos around the mace. Because the way these catacombs were set up, from one end, from one end to the other end, there would usually be more. So there was a space in between, but from one end to the other end would be 20 amos. So you have to check 20 amos all around to see if there are more. Because on three, you don't have to check. On three, you just can remove. You don't have to worry about it. If you found on one. Matzah echad besof esrim ama. Let's say you found three, and now you continue checking. And then at the very end, 20 amos further around, you find another one. So now you got to check from that one another 20 amos. Because now you assume that that's at the far end of the cave, of the burial cave. So matza echa besof esrim ama, bode kemenu olalan esrim ama. Why? And this is why the mission is here, because raglayim ledavar. That thing has feet. It's the assumption here being that we're talking about the base akvaros. What happened to all the bodies in between? I don't know. Maybe they disintegrated. Maybe something happened. He couldn't find them. But if you find them within the space that would have been a burial cave, the burial zone, you have to continue checking again. Because the way those burial zones were, it's sort of like there was a chutzner in between, and there was always another cave. And there's a chutzner in between and another cave. So you have to check. Okay. The Mishnah says, She'ilu t'chila matza'o notlo v'estrusaso. Had you found this grave first, this one singular grave first, you wouldn't have had to check. You would have just been able to remove it and its tusa, because then you wouldn't have known about the other ones. But now that you found the three before and you're checking for this one, so you'll see the Gemara's idea is that you want to try to keep Eretz Yisrael as taller as possible. So you want to try to remove these mesim as if you can. You can remove the mesim to keep it as tahar as possible, so people aren't mahil over these unmarked areas that they don't know whether there's a kever there or not. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to go back to talk about the case of matzah mushkov kedarko. You'll have to move it. So the question is, What does we learn out from all the matzah, mace, kedarko? What do you learn out from those ideas? So Amar Rav Yehuda, matzah means that you just found it. Prat lematzoi. That's prat. It's already that you know that was there to begin with, right? If in the chatzir there is a mace that you know for a fact was buried there. It was buried in his backyard purposely. He wanted to be buried next to his cats for whatever. He was buried there on purpose to be there b'kviyus. Then you're not allowed to remove it, even if it's a singular mace. Mace, it says mace. That's prat laharug. That comes to exclude somebody who was killed. If you find somebody, and I guess you can tell, and there's a bullet hole in the skull or something like that, you can tell that the person was murdered. So then you are permitted to remove it, and you don't even have to take any of the dirt around. Why that's the case? If you prat laharug, you look at Tosos has prat laharug. It's the next Tosos. Okay, prat laharug. If it's killed, it was just put there quickly. No time to bury, so they put him there. I don't know. Mushkov, if he's lying down, prat liyoshe, they exclude something that's buried sitting up. That's not the regular way to be buried. Then you are permitted to remove him as well. You don't have to take from the dirt around it, and it's not mitzarif to a shkunas kvaros. And then it says kedarko. Kedarko means what? Prat l'sharosho munach ben yerkosav. His head is buried between his legs when he's bent over. To have the head between his legs. If you find it like that, that's not the derech of a regular kvura. And you are permitted to remove the body, and you don't have to worry about the dirt around it, and you don't have to be worried that there is another shchuna of if you found three and this is one of the three, it doesn't count as the third one, and therefore you don't have to check further up. Again,
you find it buried.
Sorry. Yeah, so the person is buried, but you're permitted to remove the body and change and bury it somewhere else. Well, you have to bury it somewhere, so move it or bury it wherever you can.
It was buried between his head, between his legs. He assumed that it's not a Jewish burial.
We didn't get to that yet. We didn't get to that yet. Tani Ula Bar Chanina. That's the problem with the notes on the bottom. They start explaining you everything before you actually see it in the Gemara. So, Tani Ula Bar Chanina. So Ula Bar Chanina taught Meis Shechaser. You have a mace who was, when he was buried, he's missing part of his body. Ein lo tvusa. He doesn't have the concept of tvusa. You're permitted to remove him, and you don't have to take the dirt around him. Velo shchunas kvaros. And also, he doesn't have shchunas kvaros, meaning if he's one of the three, it doesn't have to worry about it. That you don't have to be digging around the 20 amos all around to find the other burial spots. Here's what Tosaf points out. He says, "Meisha chaser ein lo shkunos kavaros." It's kasha lahavin lama. I was like, why not? He says, "V'shem halacha moshe b'sinai." It has to be halacha moshe b'sinai. Otherwise, he says misvara. Doesn't understand why it wouldn't. It would make a difference whether or not he has a full.
What against the meisha chaser?
What? There's no arm, there's no leg, it's missing parts, missing limbs. Okay, v'chol hani my time alo. All these things, what's the reason why not? Why they don't? You don't have to take from their upper around them, and they don't count for din shkunos kvarim. Amrina dilma ove kochavim hu. Maybe he's an ove kochavim. Now I understand that when it comes to the way that the person's buried, if he's buried sitting, but if the person was killed, Jews get killed. Person is missing a limb. There are plenty of Jews who are missing limbs. I don't understand why that has anything to do with whether he's not Ovi Kachavim or not. Okay.
It's
not, why is it more rugged for a guy to be buried without a limb than for a Jew to be buried without a limb?
Maybe Jews were not killed as much as guy back then. Maybe they figured
that. No, Jews are never killed. Jews are never killed.
They left the Jews alone.
I don't understand that. All right.
This is obviously before the Shoah, so they had different.
There were plenty of Jews that were killed before the 1945 Holocaust, 1939 to 45. I mean, it's plenty. It's our whole history. Okay, Matzah Shnayim. You found two mesim who are buried. Rosho Shalzeh Bitzar Margalosav Shalzeh. They're buried head to toe. Right, so they're buried head to toe. Rosho Shalzeh Bitzar Margalosav Shalzeh. The Rosho Shalzeh Bitzar Margalosav Shalzeh. Ein Lahen Tvusa Veloshkunas Kvaros. They don't grab the area. I mean, if you want to reinter them, you don't have to take the dirt around them, and you don't have to worry about looking screwing kavaros or looking anywhere else, because we can assume that these are not buried regularly. They're buried head to toe. That's the way that the goyim would bury, not the way that Jews would bury. Matzah shlosha. You find three mesim. Ha'echad yadua. One, you know that was there. Everyone knows that was buried there. It was buried there on purpose. Ushnayim tchila. And two, you just found. No one knew about them. No one knew that they were there before. Oh, echad tchila. Or, now the girsa changes here. Oh, echad tchila. We're going to do the girsa of the Rush and the girsa of all the Rishonim, not the girsa that was found in the text that we have here. Oh, echad tchila. You found one. It has to be echad tchila because the shnayim tchila would be the same case as before. Oh, echad tchila. You found one that no one knew about before. And shnayim yaduim. And two, that you know, that you already know about. Meaning, you don't have three that are just found right now. So you don't have necessarily have a base of kvaros. Correct, but the different circumstances regarding the bodies. Either one you knew about in advance, or two you knew about in advance. But others you didn't know about in advance. So therefore, what's the story here? Because part of them you know are supposed to be buried here. If they're supposed to be buried here, then they're kone the area, and you have to be worried. Maybe you don't have to be worried about do or do not have to be worried about the burial zone. The Brisa says so. Change the girsa. Yesh lahem tvusa. They have the idea of tvusa. Right. This is the girsa again. That's the base of the Rush. The girsa of the Rush. Tfaris Yisrael has the girsa of ein lahem. But okay, yesh lahem makes more sense here for me. Yesh lahem tvusa. They have tvusa, meaning that you have to take. We're consumed that they're Jews. So if you take them, you have to take the ground around them. The ein lahem shchunas kvaros. But we don't have shchunas kvaros because the three are not all the same. I don't know why. Why does it make a difference whether you knew about it or not knew about it? Shouldn't it be whether or not they're found in the area? Right, they were found in.
The question was whether you have to go.
Right.
No, you well, have to go.
Maybe they looked around that area once before.
But that's not. I know, but it doesn't say that. It just says that you found three. You found three. They're digging around and they found three. One they know about. Two they don't know about. It doesn't, and let's say they're buried in the 4x8 area that creates.
The mission said, if you find more than one, then you have to start looking.
But here you didn't. No, if you found three, you have to look around. Mission says, if you found three. But he didn't find three. He only found two because one he didn't find, one he knew about already.
So that's three, no?
But it's not considered he found three, is what this Bryce is saying. It's considered he only found two. That's our question. Right. So Tosos is bothered by it. Tosos is bothered by it. Tosos says, Rashbam perish halach l'moshe m'sinai hu. That's halach l'moshe m'sinai. I think that's just code word saying I have no idea. So halach l'moshe m'sinai. Right? V'ri perish tam b'davar. The Ri says the reason is this. The ein lanu lomar shchunos kvaros u beis ha-kvaros hu. You can't say this is shchunos kvaros or a beis ha-kvaros. Ho v'nik rusham gimel mason. That's worse saying. There's three mason there. It should be a beis ha-kvaros. The echa no da tchila, one you already knew about. So e isa de ein daito hayalif no sum vileisim sham lekavro ki heich nedu lano echa yu lano osu sheimo. Basically, he says that if you knew that things were one's buried here, you should have known that three are buried here. There's no. In other words, if people told you that this is already a burial area, so you have known how many are buried there. I'm not so clear on why. Maybe they only knew about one. They didn't know about the other two. No, I think it's difficult. All right.
Well, if it's a very old burial area, there's not going to be any bodies there.
Right. But right. So what are you finding? That's a different question. So you find whatever you find, you're finding bones.
No, but if you know that one person's buried there, maybe others were buried there also, but it wasn't a burial.
Right. But Tosafot is saying the exact opposite. If you know that one, but you didn't know that others, that means it's not considered a basic kvaros. Because if you knew about one, you should have known about the others. But the fact that you didn't know about the others means that it's not a basic kvaros. You're saying. Yes, I'm with Yossi on this one. All right, Maisa by Rabbi Yeshevav. Maisa by Rabbi Yeshevav. Shebadaku macha shnayim yedum v'echad tchila. He went around and he found two that he didn't know about, and one that he knew about already. Ubikesh lasos on shchunos kvaros. And he wanted to make them shchunos kvaros, and therefore what? You wouldn't be permitted to remove them, and you'd have to check. You'd have to check the 20 amos all around. So Amalo Rikiva, Rikiva says to him, you wasted your time. Call Sheyagata Larik Yagata. I don't know what he did right now. He just Bikesh. Well, I don't know what he wasted. He said, "You maybe saying it would be a waste of time." Lo armor shkunas kvaros el shloshim you do him olu shlosha tchila. The only time you say beis hakvaros is if It's three that you knew about already, or three that you're finding for the first time now. But you can't mix or match. Right. I think the Rashbam's answer to Tosfos makes the most sense. It's a lechem moshe mishimei. Okay. So the Mishnah then says... You have to do. Then you would have to do. You
no,
would have to check.
One,
right, but usually when they find, they don't know that the cemetery is there and the bodies are there, and they find three,
but
so then they have to check.
It was new about two, and then you found one.
That's exactly what it says.
You'd be able to do excavation even with the five hours, but you wouldn't have.
Yeah, you don't have to check with the 20.
Why there no basements?
Yeah, the bodies are everywhere because they were killed. Okay, no tell es tusasan. You would take, if you find one mace or two mace that are buried in the Rishus, you can take them, but you have to take their tfusasan, which is the area around them. We'll see what that is. So, hechi damu tfusa. So I thought the question was saying, what is tfusa? But it really means here, where in the Torah do we find this din of tfusa? So, Amar Rav Yehuda says, Amakra, the Pasuk says, when Yaakov Avinu commanded Yosef to take him to Mitzrayim, he says, Unisasani mi Mitzrayim. Take me out from Mitzrayim. So they say that the Lashon of Mitzrayim is extraneous, because where else is he taking him from if that's where he died? So he says, Tol, so basically he's meaning to say, Tol imi, take Mitzrayim with me. The assumption here being seems to be is that Yaakov was buried in Mitzrayim. But Pesukim don't ever say that Yaakov was buried in Mitzrayim. There's a Chizkuni on the Pasuk that says that Yaakov was buried in the Mitzrayim, and therefore, he was temporarily buried, and then, Joseph had to do what he had to do to get him to take him out. But if you look at the Chizkuni, his source is his Gemara. So it's a little circular. Where in the Pesukim does it say that Yaakov? So I saw there's a Ritva in Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Aleph, I think maybe the article even quotes him, that says that Yaakov had no idea how long it would take for him to be taken to Eretz Yisrael. So he assumed that they would bury him first, and then they would try to get the permission, and then take him. So once they take him, he says, take me with some of the dirt. See that you have to take some of the dirt with the mace when you're moving the mace from one place to another. Okay. So v'kama shi'ir tefusa. How much is this tefusa? How much is this extra dirt that you're supposed to take? So Peirush, so here he changed the gear. So again, it has to be Rabbi Elazar. So that would be Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, who's an Amora, because you're going to have Rabbi Elazar in a moment, who's Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, he is the Tana. So it changed the gear, so over here that this is Rabbi Elazar the Amora. So Peirush Rabbi Elazar, notel afar tichuach, you take the soft dirt, I guess, that's around the mace, v'chofer b'vsula shalosh etzbos, and you dig down all around the grave three etzbos deep, I guess three etzbos on either side, And deep, you take three etzbos with the mace. So now the Gemara is going to ask, well, we're going to quote a brisa, and the brisa is going to seem to indicate that you don't have to take the three tefachim. So it's a kasha on that's why you have to say it's a mora also, because otherwise it wouldn't be a kasha, because he can be his own tana. But he says, mesevei, we have a brisa, but kam ishir tefusa, how much ishir tefusa, peirush Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. This has to be Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, and therefore the previous one is not Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok. So Peirush Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, notel es hakisamin, kismin. You have to take the shards of the, right, Mishmaris says kismin is shel nisarin, the boards. Whatever, the leftover, the boards that are rotting away. The boards with, because I guess the mace could have maybe gone into the boards. Mm-hmm. So Nate, well, not, but here we have to, besides the body, take the boards that the mace is buried in. The esha kisasos, I think are the clods. I think it's clods of clumps of dirt. Right? Rashi says, the response says, goes zoshel adama, she nidbaku min hadama min hamoel, that some of the blood or the body liquids that decompose in there, she korin belishtis belaz. My problem is with this. I think the Rishonim also asked that: is that why do you have to take that? We had a Gemara. I think it was on Daf Namalef. Gemara Daf Namalefe said that if you buried in a boards, right, then that's not considered rekev. Only if you had buried in the marble, because then the boards are part of the body, and we said it's not rekev. So here it seems to indicate that it is. You would have to. Because we had a Gemara that said on Daf Namalef that nikvar be'aron shel etz ain lo rekev. That could be. Forest is a different answer, but that could be. Okay, so yeah, then Zorik es havadoin, whatever you know for sure was not in Mus'ar, I don't know how you do, but whatever you know for sure was not in Mus'ar of any parts of the mace.
He's
Meiri says that. Okay, so the question is definitely asked. Okay, so Zorik es havadoin, anything that he knows for certain, I don't know how he does, but anything that he knows for certain is not part of the mace, he can throw out. Umeiniach es hasfekos, and things that are suffic, so we're not sure whether or not. So what you do, you have to take them away. But they are, since they're suffic, they're not going to be much started with other things to create a shear for tumas ohel. But the hashar, things that we know for sure are from the mace. That's mitzvah from Rov Binyanos HaMeis, Rov HaTzamos, or the Lo Tavrid Rakav. Here's the Lo Tavrid Rakav. These things are all combined to make, you know, to become Matamba Oel. And the kash is this Lo Tavrid Rakav. What's it doing here? It's, I guess the Meir says it's holy on that Gemara on Daf Mem Aleph. Okay. So, but what's the kasha? We just asked over here, what's the shear tvusa? And there's no mention whatsoever of digging down three tvachim. It's not mentioned. So who? Must be Rav Elazar Rav Padas, the original one, the original one that we saw the Amora, the Amar Ki Haitana. He holds like the following brayser. The Sanya, we have a brayser that says, Mekama shear tvusa. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Ben Azai, Yochanan Ben Uri says in the name of Ben Azai, No tel afar tikua, chokar busula sholosh hatzpaos. So here, this price says that you do take it. So Rav Elazar Pedas, Machlokas, Macholos Brysos, Rav Elazar Pedas holds like holds like Ben Azai, who says that you do take three hatzpaos, and Rav Elazar Ratzadok says you don't have to take the three tzvachos. Okay. The Mishnah had mentioned that if you find the three mesim in that area between 4 and 8 amos, that's considered a shkunas kavaros, because again, that equals, you can look in a note in the art school, that equals what could have been a burial chamber, right? And besides that also, you have to check 20 amos further out, because the burial chambers are usually more than one, is to check 20 amos out, because something may be from where you are, what you found is the edge of the burial chamber, and the other edge of the burial chamber would be 20 amos away. So you have to check all the way. You can't assume that this is the middle. You have to assume this is the end and go all the way out. So bodek heimenu. So an Amar Rava, Badak. Let's say you checked and you found a kever in your field. Upana. You checked and you looked and you found one, so you removed it. Okay, all the rules that permitted you to remove it were satisfied, you removed it. And then Badak, and you kept going, and then a couple days later you checked again. And you found another one. You found another one, Upina, and you removed it, because two, you're allowed to. And then all of a sudden, Badak Vashkach, you found a third mace. Now you got a problem. Because had you checked all at one time, you would have to be checking all around. But then again, the first two were removed with permission. So maybe you don't have to check all around. So the Gemara says, what's the din? Lo hai mafani le gabe hanach trei, the lo hani trei le gabe haichad. The two don't impact the one, and the one doesn't impact the two. Meaning, you're no longer now permitted, there is impact. There's impact, the two impact the one, in the sense that you're not allowed to remove this third body. Because now you have to assume that there was a basic kvaros here, and it's buried, it was there purposely. However, v'lo hani trei legabe haichad, we're also not chayav to return the original two, or to take out the dirt around them, because at the time that you removed them, you didn't know about the third one, and so you were permitted to do it.
Now you do have to search 20 hours.
That's an, I don't know, I'm not sure. It doesn't say that. I'm not sure.
Being you put all those restrictions on you, I would assume you would have to check the 20 hours.
If you look at the Tosos, what is it, Tosos Amar? But why is it basic? But you don't have the other two there. He says, where is it, Tosos? I thought he brought it down. There is a girsa that says Umashve Leil Shunas Klaros, that says that this now becomes a Besa Klaros, but we don't have that girsa. There's Amar Rava, look at the top Tosos. There's Amar Rava, Badak Umatzah Gam Hasheni Upano, Badak V'Ashlach U'Badak Od Umatzah Gimel, Lo Hai Mipnei Legabe, Lo Ha'achad Mipnei Legabe Beis, the Igli Milso Shem Miskavin Kavro, Kedeli Shar Hashem, that's why you can't remove the third one. V'lo Ha'ani Trei Mipnei Legabe Chad, Ein Tzor Sheyifne Shnayim V'Yachsir, and some have the girsa here. It's like, there is a girsa that says that you check. Our Gemara doesn't have that girsa to check the 20 amos. I guess it's a machlokas as well. A typical Nazir fashion where we have girsos all over the place. Okay. So, Ika de Amri, others say as follows, Amarava, Kevon Shinitna Rishush Lifanos, Lifane Lahun. He said that the Ika de Amri is very difficult. He says, So since you had rishus to remove the first two, so it's as if you, when you found the third one, as if the first two were never even there, you can remove the third one as well. Mm-hmm. So Tosso says over there, right, he says shekvar pina, the second Tosso, shekvar pina kodem sheyada shloshen heim, af hashlishi mifana l'makom sheyirtza. You can even remove the third one. Deve'echad lo nitaken shekpunas kvaros. The kas kasha, because it's a little difficult. Why not? You know for a fact that there's three here. So he says, the Sheva calls them in halacha. It is also part of the halacha Moshe Mishinai. Again, halacha Moshe Mishinai, I don't know. And that answers all the questions. Okay, so the Gemara asks.
And, you know, it's always kind of, it keeps dragging me back to Marsha Machpelah. First Sarah was buried there.
First Adam and Chava were buried there.
Huh?
First Adam and
Chava, right. Adam and Chava and Sarah. That made it the base of Chorus, but that made it the base of Chorus already.
Right. No, Adam Chava and Sarah was through. But were they buried? I mean, if you go to Marash Machlil now, I don't think the caver of Adam and Chava near the caver of Avram and Sarah.
It,
but is it with 4 and 8? Is it with 4 and 8 Amos?
That's not the way to
further. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's close to
my friend. I don't know. And then we had the other question about Marash Machpelah, whether or not they had the din of, you know, Jews before the time of Matan Torah. Does that create? Shaila, I don't think they do.
What? Some go, right? Why do they go?
Well, that kibbutz of the kingdom, no.
Right.
No, that's not why. Because it's not even we don't even know where they're buried there.
Right.
Oh,
I think those who go to Harav Hayis go to Baal HaSmachpelah, right?
Well, yeah, it belongs to the Muslims. You know.
Okay. So, but some do go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The book of Rachel also.
Huh?
That's also another. That's the last book of Rachel also.
So you're saying
no,
but it doesn't have to. If for a Kohen, for a Kohen, it doesn't matter if it's one or not. You still can't go. Okay. Vilashai lishavinhu shchunas kvaros. Because what's the whole? We just found three. So that's the question I was asking. Make it into a base of kvaros. You found three already. Why can you remove the third one? Making the base of kvaros now. Right now you know that this is he's buried there purposely because you found three. So Amrei Shlakish. Ilu Matsu Vitiru Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure what Ilah means. I thought it was a name. What does he say that Ilah means? So Ilah means you have any small reason. Okay. So if you have any reason to do so, you want to be Matara Eretz Yisrael. So if you can find any small reason to allow, to permit removing this body, again, these bodies are not in the big cemeteries. They're not in Har Menuchos, not in Eretz Achayim. They're just in the middle of the road. And people, they're only above it. They're all in. We're going back and forth. When the people eating Truma, the people Makbid on Tumah V'Tahara, we have to try to get as much Tahara in the Eretz Yisrael as possible. So for any small pretext, he's saying that word means, any small pretext, we wouldn't be Matara Eretz Yisrael. So since we have only one here, yeah, we know that there were two others. But since there's only one, we're going to allow you to remove it. Okay. Now, the Mishnah mentioned that you found three mesim in that area, the 4x8 in area within 4 and 8 amos, so you're not allowed to remove them, and you have to now check for other kvarim in an area of 20 amos. You have to check 20 amos. So what happens if badak me'esrim amma v'lo matzah? You check the 20 amos, and you didn't find anything. So my, what's the story? Do we say now that it's clear that there's no beis hakvaros, and therefore maybe we can remove these three, right? The three that were buried here, just maybe these were three that were killed on the road together, so they buried them there. Or do we say even by this way that the three themselves get a din of shchuras kvaros, and therefore they you now let remove them? And now comes major girsa issues. So Amar Rav Menasya bar Yirmiya Amar Rav shchunas kvaros. Our girsa shchunas kvaros. But if you had the girsa shchunas kvaros, then the my time of Amar Reish Lakish ilam matzav b'tara sarech Yisrael doesn't make any sense. Because Shchunas Kvaros is a Chumra, and making it, the other thing is a Kula. So therefore, the Rush takes out those words. So what does it mean, Shchunas Kvaros? These three themselves get the din of Shchunas Kvaros, and therefore you are forbidden to remove them, even if you didn't find anything else. The three themselves create a Shchunas Kvaros, and create an obligation for you to check. When you check and you didn't find, these three still have a din of Shchunas Kvaros. That is the Girsa that we have.
The rest of the field is okay.
Well, you checked. You checked already.
So it's just that little spot.
Right, but the point being is that when you had three, you were cautious that there would be more, and therefore there would be that it's a real burial ground. Now you don't find the burial grounds. Now you have a havamina that maybe the three were just here by happenstance. So our Girsa says, no, these three are buried there as a Shchunas Kvaros. You may not, once you have a Shchunas Kvaros, you may not remove them, assuming they're buried in the way that shows that they're Yisrael, not a non-Yisrael. But you can't, yeah, right, not but. But then if that's the case, you have to take out the Girsa.
Find the first body, stop, remove it.
Right.
Wait.
Find the second body.
Then look, see, find the second body.
Right.
Remove it, wait. By the time you find the third body,
right.
Remove it.
When they dig in Eretz Yisrael, like they've done in like on these roads, and they find these bodies, like how are the bodies situated? Are they maybe they're situated in a way that they're facing the wrong way? Maybe they really look like Goyim are buried. I don't know how does
they have different standards. Certain times they actually declare it a cemetery.
Right.
Other times they actually just cover over.
Right, because they would say it's Byzantine. That's the answer all the time. Byzantine. That's everything. Byzantine rules. Everything in Israel is Byzantine.
Well, that way, don't have to worry about marking it for
right.
A long
time. Right. Yeah. But I'm saying, but what?
They have marks right there.
But when they find them.
The next little highway in Tel Aviv, when they found them, decided there was Yiddish cemetery.
Right.
And there's actually a sign next to the highway.
Stay in the right lane?
Stay in the
right lane. So how do you drive there?
Well, how do you wear? They did bypass already. But I remember when I was younger,
right.
Tel Aviv, there was one road line for traveling.
Wow. Okay.
Is it because of nice right at the
because the old English made our highway through what?
What's the cemetery?
You
really don't know any place whether it's a cemetery.
And the whole area is the whole country is right. And everything's Byzantine and eucalyptus trees. Okay. The next Mishnah now is to talk about Negayim. It's talking about Negayim. Let's just continue. We'll talk later. The next mission is talking about Negayim. So it's why is the mention over here? As we'll see also because of this idea of Raglayim Ladavar. Just let you know, a couple of dinim regarding Negayim. Number one, there are three Simone Tuma, which says by Negayim. The three things that show that there is a Nega. You have two white hairs that are inside of some sort of wound. The second one is that it looks like what's called Basar Chai B'socha Nega, live flesh in the Nega. I don't know what Basar Chai is. And the third one is that it grows. So if I have a person who finds in his skin a nega that's the size of a gris, he has to go to the Kohen to check to see whether or not in this nega there are two white hairs or mare basar chai. And if they don't find those simanim, but he has this nega, so the Kohen puts him, he's maskiro, he puts him away for 7 days, michus l'machana. At the end of 7 days, they check him again. If it turns out that in the nega the white hair or the basar chai comes out, or even if they don't come out, but the nega has grown, so then he's considered tamei, and he has to sit outside the machna until he comes to tahor, and he has to go through the process. But if after the first 7 days you don't find the two hairs, or you don't find the basar chai, just to say basar chai, I don't know what that means, or you don't, or it hasn't grown, so then you have to be put away to check again for another week. And even if after that week again none of the simanei tuma come out, then again he's tahor. And he just has Tumas Erev, because he has a din of Tumas Erev, but he doesn't have a din of Tzaras. So call Safek Negayim Batchila. Anything that you have a Safek Negayim Batchila, meaning he was at Becheskas Tahara, and now he thought maybe he has a Nega, and it's a Safek whether he has a Nega or not, so he maintains his status of Tahara. Ad Shalom Nizkak Latuma, until it's known for sure that he was Tamei. But Mishin Nizkak Latuma, if he was already set aside as being Tamei, he has a Nega, and now there's a suffix as to whether or not he got another nega, so then we assume sveiko tame, almost like a cheskas, keeping with the chazaka. So minani mili, how do we know this? It's chazakas, but minani mili, some Rabbi Yehuda amarav amakra, the pasuk says by Tumas Degayim, it says letaharo o letamo. Tahara comes first, hoel pasuk bo akasa, but tahara tchila, we assume tahara unless we're told otherwise. So the Gemara says, if you're assuming tahara, unless you know otherwise, from a pasuk, then even if he was a suffix, even if he was tamei and you have a suffix, you should assume tahara. Why does it change whether or not he has a chazak or not? It's just going on the pasuk. He says, "Ihachi afilu mishen niskach l'tuma nami sveikotar," because the idea of maintaining on the chazaka we know, and then you're having a pasuk. So what's the pasuk talking about? The pasuk is not going to be talking about a guy who has a cheskas tahara, should stay tahara. We know that. Once we're talking about a guy who has a cheskas tuma, and we say even then if he has a suffix, he doesn't lose. He has it's the suffix we rule in favor of tahara. So. Because of that question, we change it, and rather, we change what Rabbi Yehuda Amarav said. We don't learn out the rule from the Mishnah from a pasuk. I can't say we keep the rule of the Mishnah. We learn out basically because that's Just it's the rule of chazakos. But we're learning out here now. Where did Rabbi Yehuda Marav say his pasuk, his limud of letaharo o letamo? So he learns it out in the following memra. Elaki itmar the Rabbi Yehuda Marav a high itmar. It's on this. There's a mission in the Nagayim that says regarding the simon of tumah of the two white hairs in the baheres. It says im baheres kadma l'seir lavan. If originally has the baheres, I don't know how he translates baheres. I think it probably says baheres. Right, if the Baharis was first before the two white hairs, then that's the symbol of Tumah. Baharis, then the white hairs. But the im seyar lavan kodin le Baharis, tahor. But if you have the two white hairs preceded the Baharis, then that's considered tahor.
No white spot.
What? Baharis. Okay.
Call it a bright spot.
Okay. We'll call it a Baharis. Sapek tame. Now, if there's a suffix as to whether the Baharis came first or the Seiris Levanos came first, so what's the story? So, the Tanakhama says Tameh. The suffix, we go to Chumrum, we say it's Tameh. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Keha. It's a Keha. So Gemara says, my Keha. What does it mean by Keha? Am Rabbi Yehuda, Keha v'tahor. This Nega is the din of a Keha, which is a din that is Tahor. Because we have a suffix as to whether the Baharis came first or whether the Baharis came first. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. How do we know? V'dil makeya v'tame. Maybe it means keya and tame. How do you know Rav Yeshua means tahor? It's Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Amar Kra. The pasuk says l'taharo o l'tamo. Hol pasuk o kasa b'tahar t'chila. So we err on the side of tahara because tahara comes first. Time is it? Okay. The next mishnah is going to be dealing with some inyane of the zav. And again, this mishnah is mentioned here. First of all, it's mentioned I think almost verbatim in Masechet Zavim, the second parak of Masechet Zavim, but since here we're talking about people who have Sveikos and Raglayim Adavar, it's mentioned again here at the end of Nazir, because why not? So this Mishnah is mentioned, says, it's mentioned here again. So you person about a person who has a Suffolk regarding his Tumah Ziva. Now, there are Chilukim between a person who has a Chazakah of being a Zav and those who are not. We'll see in our Mishnah, the same way regarding Nazir. So now, a couple Dinim regarding Ziva. Number one, Zov is a tumah that comes out from the person's body, similar to Shichlov Zera, but it's different than Shichlov Zera in the way it comes out and also in the way it looks. So a person who sees a Zov, this is the rules. He sees one Ziva, one flow, he's only talking about Tumas Erev. Right? Same thing as if he's a Balkere, he's talking about Tumas until the evening, goes to Mikvah, he's going to make Harav Shemesh, he's good. Now if he sees a second flowing, right? So then he is metame in Mishkav and Moshe. Right. And he has to wait 7 clean days. But he has to bring a karban. If he sees 3 flows, then not only is he cut tamar for 7 days, he has to bring a karban. But if a person sees a flow because of an onus, we'll see what an onus, whatever was his, whatever we can ascribe the reason to something else, then he's not considered a zav. That's learned from the pasuk says ish kiye zav mibsaro, and the Gemara Maseches Krisa says mibsaro is prat lo'oso. So now the Mishnah is going to say b'shiva drachim botkin es hazav. We check for 7 things by the zav to see whether or not these 7 things we would say would be ones, and therefore would not constitute a zav. Would not create. He would not create a zav. Right, b'shiva drachim botkin es hazav. Ad shelo nizkak l'ziva, but that's kol zman that he doesn't have the din of zav on him. Meaning, had he already seen valid zav, I guess either two or
three.
Right, if he's an established zav, what has been established? 1 or 2, we'll see. But if he's already established a zav, then these 7 things are not going to take. You're not going to count to change anything because we'll say raglayim adaber. Okay, so number one is b'machel. Number two b'mishta. Maybe he ate or drank something. Number three b'masa. Maybe he carried something heavy. Number four, Bekvitza, maybe he jumped. Number five, Becholi, maybe he got sick. Number six, Bimare, meaning he saw, he saw a woman but didn't have Hirhurim. And number seven is Hirhur, if he had Hirhurim, but he didn't see hear her after a woman but didn't see her. So if we establish that one of these things occurred before he saw the flow, so he doesn't have the din Zav. But, I'm not sure if it's the second or the third, I'm not sure. So I think the first of the Mishnah say the second, but okay. Misha diskak leziva, but once he's established to be a zav, ain't bokin oso. You don't check him, right? Ain both, you know, so. Because it's, why? If no, because there are other halachas. Every time you see another zav, it becomes more another flow because there are more chumras that flow. The first time is tumas erev, the second time is tumas sheva, the third time is a karban. So if it's an onus, why bring a karban? Because of an onus. Maybe it's an onus. So we don't even check that. Onso sveiko v'shicha zero tameim, why? Because regalim davar. Even if it's onus, even if it's a suffix, even if it's shicha zera, we say it's tameh as a zav vaday because we say it's regalim davar. It's regalim davar. I don't have to check in the Rishonim to see whether or not it means what established means after one sighting and the second sighting we don't check, or is it after two sightings the third sighting we don't check? And the Mishnah says another idea of raglayim adavar hamaka es chavero. So you hit your friend and he gets sick. V'amdula misa, you think he's going to die because of this wound that you gave him. And hakel mimashahaya, then he got better. And then la'achar mikah hichbi remes, then he got sick again and died. So Chayev, Tanakama says, he's Chayev. We can say that's the reason why he died was because of the wound. From Nechemia Mopater, he says that the Makkah is not Chayev because Raglayim Adavar, he got better. So Raglayim Adavar, that he got better and he died from some other reason. Okay, we'll stop here by the Gemara on the bottom, Samachay Amabez.